Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of Steelers Depot, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 45. And Dave, let's start it off by wishing everybody a very happy Thanksgiving. We do this because we like it, but I'll tell you, we do this mostly because you're out there listening and the great feedback we get and all the support we get. Financially and just in every other way as well. And so thanks to all our listeners. Have a healthy, happy, and great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that and wish the listeners happy Thanksgiving as well, too. What are your plans for Thanksgiving, David? Not that I don't know them.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have I don't know that I will leave my apartment on Thanksgiving until about 9:30. I might have I may have some turkey and some fixings tonight with some folks who have been kind enough to ask me to be involved. But I'm going to have a quiet day, and I'm going to watch some football tomorrow, and I've got to obviously get on air around 11:30 at night. So there won't be many – it won't be a big festival for me, but – It'll be nice to have some time, and it'll be nice to watch some football. And for the first time, second time ever, and I think the first time since 1930-something, every team playing on Thanksgiving will have a record of at least 500. And two really big matchups before the Steelers game with Detroit and Minnesota in Detroit. And the winner probably went, you know, in the driver's seat for the NFC North. And then a great matchup, I think, between Dallas and Washington. And we saw how good Washington looked on Sunday night with Kirk Cousins carving up Green Bay, and we know what Dallas has done. So, you know, no clunkers for Thanksgiving, which is great.
Yeah, and I bet you my Thanksgiving will be less eventful than yours even. My wife's still out of town, so this will be the first Thanksgiving that we've spent apart, I think, in almost 30 years. So just me, myself, and I, and that should be a handful, as normal. I'll probably go pick up some buffalo. I'll have some Thanksgiving Buffalo Wild Wings, probably. And I look forward to these games as well, too. Obviously, we'll spend most of the morning, you know, kind of getting ready for the Steelers game.
You're not going to find yourself at some buffet at over at Mirage or at one of the other casinos?
David, I'm one of those weird people that's a germ freak and all like that. So buffets and me don't get along, no matter how upscale or low scale the joint might be. So
fair enough.
No, I don't like people playing with my food or breathing over my food.
But we won't find you in a sports book catching the games and throwing a college game or two in there.
No, I might run by one of the man's places later on this evening to take care of some of that business per se.
All right. Okay, so let's get into this. The injury report, spot on everything we've been talking about. Just assume the five guys who were injured aren't going to play. Grimble and Dangerfield were limited yesterday, but they're not going to play. So your inactive list should be identical for this game. Obviously, the big news is really on the other side with Andrew Luck, Vonta Davis, and Gethers all not practicing Tuesday. Luck's out. I couldn't tell you for sure about the corner and the safety. We'll have Phil Wilson, who's been with us kind of annually as the Steelers play the Colts. He'll be our beat writer joining us in about half an hour. But certainly the Andrew Luck news, Dave, is the news of this week. And I'll go so far as to say, you know, I'm not just trying to be, hyperbolic, as you like to say. This might be the single most impactful thing affecting the Steelers' playoff chances of all the things that go on in terms of the Steelers' opponents. I mean, look, if Ben or Bell were to get injured at AB, knock on wood, that doesn't happen. Certainly that would be more impactful, but I mean, you talk about what happened last year with the Steelers, and if you remember, I think they went their last six games or seven games playing backup quarterbacks after backup quarterback. And, you know, I know people point to the Ryan Mallett game as, you know, they lost the game. And it was a bad game. It was a must-win game. And he was a backup quarterback. But they won all the other ones. And so they're going to have a chance. You know, I think the odds are very, very different in this game with Scott Tolzien rather than Andrew Luck.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you're right. It started last year in, what, week 13 with the Colts facing Hasselbeck. And then they faced a backup in Cincinnati and then in Denver in that game with who? Osweiler. And then
yep.
And then Mallett, I think, with the Ravens in week 16. And week 17, I'm drawing a blank. Who did the
Cleveland. It was Austin Austin Davis.
Good memory there. Yeah. So
I think it was Cincinnati twice because the game before the Colts is the game they knocked out early in the game. They knocked out.
They played Russell Wilson. They played Russell Wilson and the Seahawks in week 12.
So was the Bengals week 11?
It was week 8. Remember, that's the game that Le'Veon Bell got injured in.
Well, when was the second time they played?
In week 14 after the Colts.
Oh, okay. So that was the Dalton knocking out Dalton to get McCarron. So and then they played obviously McCarron again in the playoffs. So, you know, a big run of a game against, you know, backup quarterbacks that, you know, obviously didn't hurt the Steelers' chances. So, we'll see what happens, with the secondary, which might be, you know, I don't know, it won't be as impactful as Luck, but it'll be impactful if they lose those two guys. I mean, Vonta Davis, I thought 2 years ago, he left the game injured, and Steelers, Ben absolutely torched him before he left. Last year, I feel like he might have been injured and not played last year as well, but I don't have that off the top of my head. And Ben obviously tore him apart last year as well. So big injury news on the Colts side.
Yeah, absolutely. And this, you know, of course, this news came out after we recorded the last show there. Kind of caught me by surprise. The concussion apparently happened in the fourth quarter on one of those sacks to Luck, and only sacked twice in that game. And the Colts, you know, obviously went on to win that game. On top of it, and as you mentioned, two members of their secondary, we'll have to see what happens with when the final injury report comes out later today on Wednesday with Vonta Davis and Clayton Gathers. But I was talking to Phil Wilson yesterday for a brief time setting up this interview with him today, and he said he wasn't talking about Vonta Davis. He wasn't moving around good at all on that ankle. I think Phil said that he had it in a boot. And of course, Clayton Gathers with, you know, their safety with that concussion, you would think with him being in protocol along with Luck on a short week that, you know, chances are pretty slim that he's going to play. So big losses for them, you know, as well. And this is something that we obviously look. I mean, you go back to the start of the year, regardless of how the Colts have ultimately played this year. This is a game that most people, I think I did, had circled on the schedule as, man, this is probably one that the Steelers, you know, have a decent chance of losing. And now, you know, it's turned obviously 180 degrees here. Steelers were already a favorite, I think, ahead of this news. What was it, 3 points? They opened up as 3-point favorites. I haven't looked at it since then. I know it was off the board after that Luck news was announced. But, you know, when you look at this team top to bottom, David, and not looking at Luck and not looking at members of the secondary of the Colts, you know, you have to be licking your chops, especially if you're the Steelers' defense.
I totally agree, and I actually tweeted that same exact line yesterday. Steelers are now 7.5-point favorites, Dave. So it was 2.5 when I saw it. So, you know, Andrew Luck about 5 points difference in terms of what he brings to the table. So Vegas thinks the Steelers are going to win this game. 7.5 on the road is a big line, and I'm with you 100%. Those guys in the secondary matter as well. As we discussed on Monday, it's a not very good offensive line, to be charitable. Frank Gore is not a huge threat in terms of the kind of damage he can do. Now with a different quarterback, the receivers are a bit diminished in terms of what they bring to the table, although it's a talented group, as Mike Tomlin would say, with Moncrief and T.Y. Hilton and Philip Dorsett. But it's, you know, it's, by the way, Devin Street of Pitt is on this roster now, formerly with the Patriots. just people who were paying attention. He was originally with the Cowboys in 2014, and then he went through the Patriots. He was a guy who's, I think he was a third-round pick when he came out of the draft. I'm looking at it here. It says fifth-round pick. I thought he was a little bit higher than that. He's a guy who I thought would actually be a productive player in the NFL, and he obviously hasn't been quite up to the level I thought he would be, but just another guy in the receiving core. And then, you know, you think about them defensively, Dave, you know, I don't want to mean to get into the X's and O's here right out of the chute, but, you know, who are the playmakers on defense? You look at the names and you say, you know, is it DeQuell Jackson? That's a name that we're familiar with. We've seen forever. Robert Mathis has been around forever. You got Patrick Robinson and Mike Adams are two guys in the secondary that people are probably familiar with, but this is not a team that where you say, okay, you know, the defense is going to win you the game. It's Andrew Luck, go out and outscore them, and let's see what we can do. And Dave, I continue to suggest that one of the miracles, talk about people who should be thankful, one of the miracles of the NFL is that Ryan Grigson is still in the job as GM of the Colts. It looked like maybe both he and Pagano would be gone at the end of last year, or at least certainly one of them. And they had a kumbaya session, and both ended up coming back. And I can't say it's been bad. They're 5-5, and they're actually playing as well as they've played probably in 2 years right now. But again, these injuries are going to be devastating, particularly if it's multi-weeks down the stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. We forgot to really – we kind of glossed over the backup quarterback situation there in Indianapolis. Scott Tolzien, former, you know, came out of Wisconsin, went undrafted in 2011, entered the league with the San Diego Chargers, and, of course, after failing to make their 53-man roster, he was waived. He ended up with the San Francisco 49ers for the next two seasons as their number three quarterback and failed to see – the field any, you know, I don't think he even dressed for any of those games during that two-year span. After being waived by the 49ers, he wound up being signed by the Green Bay Packers to their practice squad. And remember, that was 2013. That was that season that they lost Aaron Rodgers for a few games. And then when Seneca Wallace had to start in his place, Tolzien was promoted from the practice squad to back up Wallace. And I think Wallace suffered – I think it was a hip injury or groin or something like that in his first start. Then in comes Tolzien. He had to mop up that one game and then started the next two games. He completed 55 of his 90 pass attempts for 717 yards. He did throw one touchdown in those three games, but he also threw five interceptions as well, too. He really hasn't taken a meaningful snap in the NFL since 2013, and he of course signed with the Colts this past offseason. So, you know, on a short week, it's bad enough to have to go to your backup quarterback, but it's even worse when you're having to do it on a short week such as this one as well too. But as many, you know, fans and commenters pointed out on Steelers Depot, David, this team has look, didn't Curtis Painter almost beat the Steelers?
Yeah, that Sunday or Monday night game that they played, you know, years ago, four or five years ago. Yeah, certainly, and I don't know if it's, you know, selective bias that we remember those games, because it does feel like there's been an inordinate number of games, and that kind of goes along with Mike losing to teams on the road that are below 500, because there have been an inordinate number of those games. So it's definitely true. Look, these are – every year it's a different team. The correlation is – the continuity is mostly the coaching staff and Ben Roethlisberger. But, yeah, you know, this is a game that can really set up the Steelers season. And as we've talked about, these next 3 weeks, we'll have a much better idea of who the Steelers team is. They played two really good teams in the last 4 weeks, and they played – particularly for the Steelers' defensive perspective, they played two really good offenses and two really bad offenses. And now without Luck, I don't know, maybe we're not going to get quite the picture. But then you get the Giants and the Bills, and they're going to come at the Steelers in different ways. The Giants are going to throw and the Bills are going to run. I don't know what the Colts are going to do. I don't have a sense of what their offensive game plan is going to be. But it should be interesting. And for the Steelers, you now have your first three picks, the rookies on the field. I think this is something that I expected. I think we talked about it at the very beginning of the year. How many snaps are these guys going to get? Well, you're going to see that the two, your first and second round draft pick, if they stay healthy the rest of the way, you know, these guys are going to get 700, 800, 900, 1,000 snaps over the course of the season. So, you know, we're going to see some development here. And it's, you know, we talk about learning while you win. If the Steelers can win these next couple games, next two, three games, they'll be in such great position for the last three games in the division. Their rookies will have a heck of a lot more experience. Certainly their play now has allowed them to scheme a little bit differently defensively, that, you know, maybe there's something to get optimistic about. I'm kind of putting the last two games of the season in the bank for the Steelers, which obviously I shouldn't do. But, you know, I just look at this three-game stretch here as it's going to define, you know, where the Steelers are, whether even having an outside chance at a bye and having a seven-game run to end the season, or lose a couple of these and really, you know, playing Christmas Day for their playoff lives.
Yeah, when you talk about what are the Colts going to do, and you talk about some of the rookies on the defensive side of the ball for the Steelers, you can probably count on Javon Hargrave being on the field quite a bit against the Colts. They like to use a lot of two tight end sets. They'll, of course, take Jack Doyle, and they'll line him up in the backfield, you know, as a fullback. He'll, of course, play H-back. They like to run the counter. They like to run, you know, just you know, straight up the gut with Frank Gore. I think the most amazing thing about them and their running game so far that I came across last night is, David, they only have on the season 21 runs of 10 yards or more on the season, and Andrew Luck is responsible for 10 of those. So Frank Gore only has one run, I believe, over 20 yards so far this season. And, you know, that came on kind of a lead block by Jack Doyle out of the backfield. You know, they'll run a lot of power concepts, you know, a lot of stuff really that the Steelers go against every day in practice. So, you know, you would think that, you know, the way that they've played against this run at times this year. Now, obviously, they don't have Cameron Hayward, but we saw, you know, some of the backups step up this past week in the game against the Browns, talking about Ricardo Matthews and of course Hargrave, and LT Walton got some time at the end there. This is a game where I fully expect the Steelers, you know, as long as they're setting that edge, and let's make no mistake, Frank Gore is not one of those guys that's a huge, huge threat to kind of bounce things outside and get around the corner. So if everybody is, as Keith Butler says, does their job, you know, and maintains gap integrity, you know, of course, obviously you're going to be keying in on to make sure guys like Ryan Shazier and Lawrence Timmons are doing a good job of avoiding trash, you know, at that second level on some of those inside power runs and filling those gaps. That's one thing in that run against, I think it was it Houston, the long one. You know, you see those inside linebackers get picked off by that lead fullback there. As long as they're filling the gaps in this game, you know, I there's no reason to think that the Colts are going to have tremendous success on the ground. And I think the sooner, if the Steelers offense can jump on the Colts early on, get them kind of out of their identity of that, you know, kind of that run pass that they'll probably want to do quite a bit in this game, especially if Tolzien starts. You know, that's one of your keys to victory right there. So, you know, most people should expect Stephon Tuitt and Ryan Shazier to have big games once again, just as they did against the Browns. That Colts offensive line, very, very inconsistent, and boy, they sure allowed some ugly pressures just in that game last week against the Titans.
You mentioned the lack of long runs. I think that there's another amazing stat, and I don't have it right in front of me, but I think the Colts have only had one 100-yard rusher over the last 4 years or something crazy like that. I mean, it's a ridiculous stat. I'll try and find it, but I agree with you. You know, you do very much what you did against Cleveland last week. I mean, Cleveland rushed for 33 yards and 13 of them came on quarterback scrambles. So they weren't able to use Crowell and Duke Johnson effectively in the run game at all. So That will certainly be the Steelers' defensive game plan. If you win the toss, do you take the ball, Dave, or do you defer?
No, I defer. I like that, especially against a team with potentially a backup quarterback. Why not put them on the field first in their own stadium?
Get the stop, get the turnover, get up 7-0, and go to town.
Yeah, you look at the receiving corps, boy, you got T.Y. Hilton, and then, you know, Jack Doyle is their second lead. That's the guy that kind of scares me, Dave. I think you've seen me tweet about Jack Doyle in the past. Kind of a no-nonsense, a guy that you wish was on your team. You know, he can line up in the backfield. He can line up at the end of the line of scrimmage. I think very rarely they might split him out there. But, you know, their receiving corps, it goes T.Y. Hilton, who's obviously, you know, their biggest pass-catching threat, 57 catches on the season. And then it drops off tremendously. It goes Jack Doyle at 37, and Frank Gore is their third leading receiver with 28 catches. And then it goes Dorsett, Ferguson, Allen, their talented tight end, who really the last two seasons hasn't caught a lot of footballs at all. 19 catches for 207 yards on the season. And then Moncrief, 18 catches on the season. So, you know, I would spend a lot of time focusing on T.Y. Hilton in this game and trying to take him away, and then making, you know, whoever quarterbacks, you know, we obviously think it's going to be Tolzien, make him get that ball out quickly to, you know, guys like Doyle, guys like Dorsett or Moncrief or stuff like that. But I think that'll be the Colts' game plan. Try to line up, play some smash-mouth football in an attempt to keep Roethlisberger and the Steelers' offense off the field. And then, of course, mix in, you know, T.Y. Hilton coming across the middle. That's a scary sight. You know, and you know, that's the thing. He had a couple of nice catches in that game against the Titans, where luck found him kind of breaking over the middle there. And you know, they're going to take their share of deep shots down the field there. But you shut down that run early, and like I said, I would defer. I would hope my defense can come out there and get a three and out. Maybe the Steelers get the ball, you know, around midfield, go in for the early score and really start putting the clamps on the Colts early.
Okay, so that sets us up for that one. And if you're thinking about this holiday time, going into the holiday season of changing your life and getting a new home, remember, mortgage rates are currently at all-time lows. And if you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or refinance, contact our buddy Craig Oxane at First Advantage Mortgage, a lifelong Steeler fan, a Pittsburgh native. Craig's a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help out Terrible Podcast listeners. You can call Craig today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Or you can email Craig at blackandgoldlending.com, or just apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender.
David, if Jordan Todman returns one for a touchdown, a kickoff return for a touchdown in this game, I'm probably not going to be available for the Friday podcast.
Yeah, he did that a couple of weeks ago. He took one back to open a game, and you know, it's something that you obviously were we both talked about extensively last year, as the Steelers kind of still, for now, for the fourth year in a row, have not found their guy in the kick return game, and we've not seen Justin Gilbert. And the fact that, you know, Fitz Toussaint took one back, you know, 30 or 33 yards a couple of weeks ago, and it was the longest of the season. I think the Steelers have actually returned, and obviously this number didn't go up last week with the Browns only kicking off a couple times. I think the Steelers had the fewest kick returns, or the lowest percentage of kick returns in the NFL.
14 returns on the season for 309 yards, an average of 22.1 per return, and along, as you stated, by Toussaint for 33. What in the heck is
and they're not going to return. Pat McAfee's going to be kicking them through the upright, so they're not going to return any on tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, why not at least throw Justin Gilbert out there anyway at this point? I mean, what do you have to lose?
Agreed.
You know, look, I don't think a lot of people, you know, or at least I don't think a lot of people should have expected Justin Gilbert to see the field a lot defensively so far this season, but yeah, I kind of thought he'd be back there for every kickoff return starting now, but you know, he only has 3 returns on the season for 69. Up until a few weeks ago, he had the long at 32. You see guys like Todman do, you know. Todman had, what, a 99-yarder for a touchdown a few weeks ago. Why can't they get this right? I mean, look, I understand that not every – and look, there's sometimes returns that are made that I think, man, just stay in the end zone. What are you doing bringing this out when you can have the ball at the 25? But on the flip side, it sure would be nice to see before the season ends, you know, 2 or 3 of these go out near midfield and kind of be field flippers for the Steelers offense, because how many years now have we been talking about, boy, it sure would be nice to see the Steelers offense get some short fields on a game, whether it be defense or what have you, you know, get some short fields for a change for the offense.
How long have we been talking about it? Well, since before they drafted Dree Archer, so.
Yeah, for sure. You know, like when you look Steelers offensively, this is a defense against the Colts that they should be able to push around a little bit on up front. They have given up well over 30 runs of 10 yards or more. I think 5 or 6 have gone for 20 yards or more. Believe it or not, as good as, you know, Le'Veon Bell has been this year, where are the explosive runs, David?
Yeah, what's he have? One run of no runs over 20, or one run over 20?
I mean, one that I know for sure, and that was against the Chiefs, right? The 40-something yarder. So it might only be one. I mean, he has quite a few that have obviously gone for 9, 10, 11, 12 yards, but you know, it's time that he breaks one of these. You know,
Well, you know, that's interesting, because I can't remember if I mentioned this on Monday, but, you know, ended up looking it up. You know, how many times and I know this is a made-up stat, but how many times has a back carried less than 30 times, gained more than 145 yards, and had no run over 12 yards? It hadn't happened in the NFL since 1992. And it felt like Bell, you know, could have broken a couple of those. It felt like he should have scored on the touchdown run where he had Ramon Foster out in front of him and really didn't set up his block very well. He's hitting the holes. You know, you average 5 yards a carry. When you get 28 carries, that's an awfully good day of work at the office. So I don't know that there's too much to be critical about. But, yes, he has not had – he's just kind of seems like he's gotten tripped up or stopped in the secondary, just, you know, one guy away from taking it a bunch of times. Because he has, as you pointed out, I bet he's had 20 runs of, you know, 7 yards or more, or 10 yards or more, but he has yet to break one clear.
And when you go back and you look at some of these runs that the Colts have given up, I think the one that stuck out to me the most was the long one by the Howard kid for the Bears several weeks ago that I forget the total, 40 something yards or something like that. That was an outside zone run where Bears right guard Kyle Long got to the second level there. And you know, we don't see this Steelers offense run a lot of that traditional, you know, outside zone. Now we see them run some of that pin and pull stuff, and obviously they run the counters and split zone and things like that. I think they're going to have some success with doing all that against the Colts Thursday night. You know, I don't think their identity from really what they did against the Browns on Sunday is going to change a whole heck of a lot. But you know, I think I would personally like to see maybe, you know, second quarter or so, if you get the right kind of look up front, to maybe try that outside zone to the right side, especially if you get the ball on the far hash and you know, it's, you know, that kind of stuff there. So look for that. Look for you know, the Colts have had some problems kind of defending that counter at times, so look for David DeCastro as usual to be on the move. What you know, one thing we kind of glossed over, I think, about that game against the Browns, David, and we have been on Jesse James quite a bit for his blocking so far this season, but I thought he made some improvements on his blocking. I think he did whiff on one or two there in that game, but I think it was a better blocking game for Jesse James.
Yeah, you know, we saw Antonio Brown make a block, and I'll tell you, in some of these situations, and this is true of anybody kind of on the edge, sometimes you just need to get your body in the way. You know, you don't need to maul a guy and run him over. You get out there. I think you're talking about there was a play. You know, remember the play, the split zone with David Johnson when he came across, and you know, he cleaned his guy out, and that was a really good block to set up Bell. Antonio Brown, it was very early in the game. Just get in the D-back's way and make him fight his hands up a little bit. And, you know, a lot of times that's what James has to do. He doesn't need to bury those guys on the edge. He just has to make sure he doesn't whiff. So I agree. I think he was a little bit better in this past game.
Yeah, and you know, Eli Rogers, I think he's working hard out there on the edge, especially on some of those wide receiver screens. But, you know, it's hard to put your finger on why, and I'm looking at the stats now. Le'Veon Bell has 16 rushes of 10 yards or more so far this season. And his longest was that 44-yard run against the Chiefs. His second, believe it or not, his second longest is 18. And, of course, Darius Heyward-Bey has the longest run of the season for the Steelers, 60 yards in that game against the Dolphins several weeks ago as well, too. I think these offensive linemen getting to the second level and getting some key blocks, you know, might be key. I'm going to go ahead and predict it now, David. A bold prediction. Le'Veon Bell will have two runs of longer than 20 yards against the Colts Thursday night. How's that?
Let's hope you're right. I don't think it's I don't think you're going out on the thinnest of limbs. But
he only has one all season, so that I mean that limb is a little, you know, has some meat on it.
Fair enough. Okay. So, Dave, let's preview the other two games real quick here before we get to Phil and get into some more Colts chatter. What do you think about and what we obviously have to make picks for him as well? What do you think about this Lions Vikings game and the fact that, you know, the Vikings, the Lions, what have they now been? I can't remember who they beat this past week, but they've been behind in the fourth quarter of every game, which is astounding that they're 6-4. They're a 2.5-point favorite at home. I thought it was going to be a real test for the Vikings at home when they played Arizona last week, and everybody's talking about how they, you know, the game was going to be a 6-6 tie. They end up putting up 30, but they had a defensive touchdown and a return touchdown. All of a sudden, Cordero Patterson is a real football player who's doing more than just returns. Who knows? I mean, how disappointing must they be that they twice draft wide receivers in the first round in the last 4 years, and Cordero Patterson is finally playing a little bit, and a kid, Laquan Treadwell, who was supposed to be the advanced kid who would, you know, maybe not the burner, but a guy who would step right into an NFL role, hasn't played at all. But they win that game. They break that four-game losing streak. They're 6-4. Huge game. Lions a couple-point favorite. Stafford's playing great. I have no idea what to expect in this game.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Bradford's playing great. He's playing Alex Smith-like, right? I mean, 169 yards against the Cardinals the other day, and you're right. You know, two of their scores, one came by Cordero Patterson, and the other, I think, wasn't it Xavier Rhodes' 100-yard interception return in that game as well, too. So, everything I think revolves around how good their defense plays in games and whether or not Bradford can just avoid the turnovers. You know, I think they have the defense to play. You know, especially if they get some home field advantage in the playoffs. I think this is a team that can, you know, win a game or so in the playoffs. I think it all kind of mostly revolves around their defense. Now, I think there was a report yesterday, right, about Adrian Peterson and how he might make it back by the end of the season. Boy, if they got a healthy Adrian Peterson back, that would be huge. But you know, remember, this is an offensive line. I think in most of the games that I've seen, it's been kind of shaky at times. They're all, you know, outside of Diggs right now. you know, who's really their offensive weapon right now. I mean, sure, they're starting to get some production from Cordell Patterson, but, you know, that's it. As far as my and look, I mean, you could talk about the Lions too. Who really are the Detroit Lions right now?
Well, I don't know. I don't have any idea what to make of them. It's Matthew Stafford and, you know, kind of wing it.
I mean, they're playing better without Calvin Johnson, right? I mean,
look, they're 6-4. They win this game. They are, you know, it's not certainly not nothing's over, but they're in the driver's seat. I'll tell you, the pack is in trouble. Oh, did Kirk Cousins tear them up? And so, well, let's make a pick. I'll let you go first. Detroit -2.5.
I'll take Detroit -2.5. I think they'll do enough offensively, and I think they'll I think their defense will force a few turnovers for Bradford. So I think people are back on the upswing right now on the Vikings. So I'll go the other way, and I'll take the Lions to probably win this on a last second field goal or something.
Okay, I'll join you. I'll take the Lions. How are we doing overall in the standings? I know it was very close a week ago.
I think I made up like two games maybe this week, so I think I'm one or two games behind you. But both of us right now would probably be on the street.
Yeah, on the street. In the hunt, but on the street. Okay, Washington-Dallas. I'll just say it out front here. Seven's too many. I'm taking Washington. Look, I think we all have realized Dallas is a good football team. No question about that. I actually think Washington's also a good football team. And I'm really impressed by what they did on Sunday night against Green Bay. And maybe, you know, maybe I just have an overinflated opinion of the Packers because they've been torched by so many teams this year. I mean, Steeler fans are slightly disgruntled about their fate to this point being 5-5. Packer fans are being out there with pitchforks. It's a disaster in Green Bay. And, I think Kirk Cousins is really impressed, and he's going to get his money one way or the other to get him to this point. Now, Dallas probably does win this game, but 7 points is just too many for me. So, give me the Skins at 4:30 as I settle into hopefully some nice turkey.
Yeah, the thing is can Washington stop the run? I think that's the biggest thing. I think they match up okay with the Cowboys receivers. Remember back in week two, they even though they lost to the Cowboys, that was, if memory serves me, that was a fairly close game. Man, I mean, on a short week and all, I mean, who does this favor? You know, who does this favor the most? You have to go with the Cowboys, I think, on this. And look, I tip my cap to Kirk Cousins. I think he had a heck of a game against the Packers. What was the stat on that? I think I had 4-for-4 on deep passes and 2 touchdowns and like 190 yards or something on 4 plays for Cousins. Of course, Jordan Reed, tight end envy when it comes to him. But, you know, the Cowboys have a pretty nice one of their own still in Jason Witten. I think a lot of the betting public is going to be riding high on that performance from Cousins the other night. So I'm going to go the opposite way. I'll take the home team again here. David, give me the Cowboys. Lay the points.
Okay, so let's one more question before we get to Phil. Is this another no win-win for the Steelers? If they go on the road and beat the Colts without Andrew Luck, is it somewhat the same sentiment that, well, you know, they better have beaten that team and they didn't have Luck? That's a game they should win.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, if Luck plays, obviously the Colts have a better chance to win. But without Colt, I mean, you got a guy, we already talked about Tolzien, first snap since 2013. And if you just look at the play of the Colts offensive line and their inability to run the football at times. Now, Frank Gore, to his credit, you know, is averaging something like 4.5 or 4.6 yards on runs up the middle. But, you know, you would think the Steelers are going to be able to stop that. So I am leaning more to the this is a no-win-win. Here's the thing. I just want to see a more complete game on both sides of the football, and we really haven't seen that outside of maybe the Chiefs game this year. So, Yeah, I the only built-in excuse I think you could use is it's a short week, David. That's really the only kind of thing I can say. How much Ladarius Green are we going to see this week? You know, he's played, what, 20, 21 snaps, and Todd Haley comes out yesterday and says, well, you know, he should be a full go this week. Not even sure what that means when it comes to Ladarius Green. So, you know, this is a Colts defense that has struggled giving up. I think they're ranked third in the league, David, with receptions allowed to tight ends. So, you know, we're going to see a few more RPOs in this game with Ben hitting either Green or Jesse James. You know, the perfect opportunity to get Ladarius Green, if he's 100% in a full go, as Todd Haley suggests, back on the rails here. But that's a long answer to your question, I guess. I this is a no-win-win situation for the Steelers, I think. Would you agree or no?
Mostly. I think going on the road and beating a better team, that, you know, look, it's obviously luck is a huge component here, and I think if we're luck playing, I'd say it's absolutely not that. It's a game that they could definitely lose.
Let me ask you, if the Colts didn't have luck and played the Browns on Thursday night, who would you favor?
The home team?
The Colts, then?
Well, whoever the home team would be.
Assuming everything would stay the same. In other words, the Colts would host the Browns.
Yeah, I'd have them be a field goal favorite.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
The Browns should be playing Cody Kessler, but I think they're more dangerous with Josh McCown. So, you know, when McCown came in, it wasn't better for the Steelers.
Yeah, but they did get that sack fumble, and they did things. You know, I think you just got to throw out that last 17 or whatever play drive of the Browns. I think you just got to – I mean, obviously it stays in there in the stats, yada, yada, but I think you just got to kind of throw that out of the analysis because
– Yeah, you know, it's 24-9. There's, you know, 3 minutes to go. There's I wasn't looking at total yardage numbers saying that, you know – That made it a close.
All right,
game.
Are we going to throw it to Phil now and then give our picks for the Colts Steelers after that?
Yeah, we'll get coming up. Phil Taylor covers the Colts. That's next.
Phil Wilson.
Excuse me, Phil Wilson. Phil Taylor's not playing defensive nose tackle for the Colts this week either. Okay, welcome back to the Terrible Podcast. Every Wednesday we've got a beat writer who covers the opposing team, and I think it's 3 years running now. We've got Phil Wilson joining us now. Covers the Colts at all22.com. I'm sure if you've been a regular listener to the podcast, you remember Phil. You can follow him on Twitter if you're not already, at pwilson24. Welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Good. It's always great to talk to you guys. I just need you to know that since we last spoke, my wife has given me the ultimate Christmas gift, and it hangs now in the man cave. It is a signed number 75 Mean Joe Green jersey, and I'm looking to my right at it right now. So the man cave is not complete. I mean, that was my guy growing up, Mean Joe Green. So even though I'm supposed to talk Colts today, I'm telling you right now that gift, I damn near cried. I really did. I got emotional on Christmas. So
that's great.
Pretty cool.
Phil, before we get into the injury situation, which is obviously the main storyline of this game, you know, one of the things that we joke about when we're not living in Indianapolis is that Ryan Grigson's still the general manager, and somehow this partnership with Pagano has extended as long as it has. I think we all thought at the end of last year, at the end of last year, somebody was going to go. Certainly wouldn't have both guys back, but they have their powwow, and they all smoke the peace pipe, and they're all back. Is it a functional relationship, and is your opinion of Grigson similar to most outside of Indianapolis?
Well, my opinion of Grigson and Chuck Pagano is similar, to be honest. I don't think either one are cut out for their jobs, but you kind of wonder how some people survive and endure, and they're not... how should I say, they're not held accountable for their mistakes. And you wonder if they have pictures of the right people doing things with animals or something. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get how Gregson has endured. I didn't buy the kumbaya moment last year either. Just talked about that yesterday, in fact, saying, you know, it's not believable. You know, well, we got problems here, but we'll put you guys in a room for 6-7 hours. You work it out, and then we'll all get along, and it'll work from this point forward. No, it didn't work before. The team has won because of Andrew Luck, and Gregson's been able to survive this long, and Chuck Pagano too. And I wrote at the end of the year last year, on the last day, well, the first day of the season ended, I wrote that both those guys should go. And later on that evening, in a hastily called press conference, after that kumbaya moment, they stayed, and we our jaws dropped, and we're stunned. And we're still stunned. I guess we shouldn't be stunned now, because I think we expect what we've seen. I know I do. I'm not that surprised. I predicted 6-10 this year, and they still could get there, to be honest.
And give us an update. Not obviously Andrew Luck's not playing in this game, so Tolzien gets the start. I saw Pagano said yesterday he didn't announce the starter and said we have options. Well, when you only have one quarterback at the time on your 53-man roster, I'm not sure what the options are. And then what's the status of the two guys in the secondary?
Are you trying to suggest that Chuck Pagano is full of it? If you think I'm going to come on this podcast and tolerate that kind of talk about my Chuck Strong, he's a cancer survivor, damn it. You show some respect. No, no, options. We've got options. Yeah, you got options. You can lay down the road and play roadkill. That's what you got. I don't think Clayton Gathers is going to play either. And that's significant because Gathers might be playing the best of any defensive player they have. You know, Gathers, guys, he had the stop on DeMarco Murray on 4th-and-1 at the 19 with 240 something to go in that game Sunday, and they think he got concussed on that play. Maybe more importantly, and not as important as. Not as important as Andrew Luck's concussion, obviously, but, you know, something I saw last week, Vontae Davis has got a bad ankle. It's sore, and Vontae last week got burned deep by a rookie, Tajay Sharpe, for a touchdown. It wasn't even close. I saw Vontae clutch and grab several times, much more than I'm used to. I mean, I'm used to little clingy type things, you know, the New England style defense where you little tug, you know, but don't make it blatantly obvious. No, Vontae, I saw him extending arms and grabbing guys at times. And he got called maybe once or twice, but this is not the same Vontae Davis. And even when Vontae thought he was healthy and good, Antonio Brown still cooked him. I mean, still cleaned his clock. So, if the Colts don't put two men on Brown, they're even more idiotic than I think, because Vontae Davis cannot cover your guy. He cannot. And we've seen that before when he was healthy. He sure as heck can't do it, you know, on a bad ankle. So that's the injury, or that's the situation that people, maybe in Indianapolis, I'm saying, they don't realize. They take for granted that their Pro Bowl corner is going to suit up and be himself. I'm telling you right now, when Tajay Sharpe cooks your lunch, you probably don't have a prayer of lining up against Antonio Brown.
Phil, I got a bit of a trick question for you. I want you to rank the offensive line, you know, as far as the quality of their play so far this year. You know, I've looked a lot at the film so far. Is Costanzo their best? I mean, is he the best on what is really, you know, a suspect offensive line?
I would actually say Ryan Kelly, the rookie center. I like Ryan. I think he's got some learning to do, but Costanzo is playing out of position, and I've said it for 2 years, maybe even longer. I've tried to write or state on radio or podcast, as it were, that he's a right tackle, that he just doesn't have what it takes to play left tackle. And as you guys know, there's a big difference. And And yet they paid him left tackle money 2 years ago, and so that's where he stays. But he's not been the same since they paid him. And I don't know what it is. He's a nice enough guy, nice enough kid, works hard. He just hasn't had it. And so they say he's their best, but, you know, a month or so ago, I think it was a Kansas City game, quite a month, he was awful. And when Chuck Pagano was asked about it, he went Belichickian on us. He's like, we're on to Green Bay, and didn't want to address how bad Anthony Costanzo was when asked specifically twice about him. So it's the point now where I think more people are realizing he's not as good as the team thought he would be or expected him to be when they paid him a bunch of money. And that's a problem. Your best guy isn't very good, and your left guard, Jack Muhort, is just okay. And your right guard, whether it's, oh, well, whoever, they put a couple guys in there, nobody that inspires. And then your right tackle, Joe Wrights. I like Joe Haig, the rookie, but he needs some time. I mean, he was playing at North Dakota State. I mean, it's a big jump from North Dakota State to the NFL. So I haven't watched some film in a while, or I haven't watched game tape again in a while, but from what I've seen, you know, your rookie first-round pick center, Ryan Kelly, is probably already your best offensive lineman. And that said, he's still got a lot to learn, but he's a solid player.
A lot of power concepts on tape. We'll see, you know, we see them use tight end Jack Doyle in the backfield. They'll run a lot of two tight end sets and a fullback at times. Any reason to think that they changed their MO, especially with Tolzien? Is this going to be try to establish and smash mouth the run early in the game and try to keep Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers offense off the field and occasionally, you know, take a deep shot maybe to Moncrief down one side and maybe get Hilton across the middle on the other? I mean, what we see on tape the last couple of weeks, is that, I mean, it doesn't look like they're overly creative in the last couple of weeks, if you ask me.
No, they haven't been. They haven't been. And the problem with all that is, you know, I wrote a story yesterday that's got a lot of traction here. And we can talk about that more if you want. Basically, the headline was, Colts are wasting Andrew Luck's prime years. But what you've seen is, you've already talked about what you've seen. What we expect to see is they might try and be a little more conservative. I don't think they can run the ball on the Steelers. And I know Hayward's out and all that, but I just, the Colts haven't established the run real effectively before. They'd love it if Frank Gore would be able to find some room and run. And yeah, they'll have Jack Doyle, you know, out there, and they'll do that stupid play where they, you know, the tight end is in motion to the side and they tip off where it's going and all that crap. But you know, the Colts have had two 100-yard rushers in Andrew Luck's 60 games. Okay? That's from since 2012. All right? They just don't pound the ball worth a damn, and they haven't been. They will try to at times, but I just think the best way to attack the Steelers is to get guys out in space and coverage. You know, death by a thousand paper cuts. You know, get your linebackers in coverage. Jack Doyle is the second leading receiver. Nobody in Pittsburgh knows who the hell he is because people in Annapolis didn't know who he was until last year. Just a hard worker and hometown kid. 37 catches on his 47 targets. So Andrew trusted him, and I think Tolzien should trust him. Hilton, I don't know whether he's going to get open or not. It all depends on how good your best corner is. He tends to disappear, and I don't mean that in a good way, in the wrong way. You know, his nickname's the Ghost. He tends to disappear against really good defenses. So you need short, high-percentage passes with the occasional deep shot to try and keep Pittsburgh honest. But I think that's how you move the ball. If they're going to move the ball much, I don't see how they can line up and say, okay, helmet on helmet, we're bigger and tougher than you. We're going to do it because I don't think it's going to happen. I guess they could. NFL hubris suggests teams can always try things, and they get more stubborn if you tell them, no, you can't do that. That's stupid. Well, we're going to show them. We'll show them. But, you know, ultimately, you're reminded of your weaknesses, and you need to go with your strengths. And if they're going to give Tolzien a chance at all of doing anything, you got to, you know, wing the ball around a little bit, you know, and see what happens.
I would think that's right, that they're going to have to take some chances offensively and see what they can do. On the other side of the ball, you know, not a lot of named guys. You know, Steeler fans will be familiar with Robert Mathis because he's been around forever, and Patrick Robinson, right, and Mike Adams. But, you know, you look at that front seven, I mean, the Steelers fans will know DeQuell Jackson because he was in Cleveland so long, and Mathis. But tell me about the rest of that group. I mean, I know Henry Anderson had a good season last year. I haven't seen a lot of them this year. What's up with the front seven?
Well, front seven-wise, Mathis has got only three sacks. He's looked his age. You know, they made excuses for him four or five games in when he didn't have a sack, and they told us he's dealing with a foot problem that he'd suffered the first week. It was funny because he didn't appear on the injury report for that foot problem, and then they just all of a sudden came out with that. So it sounded like a real big excuse for why he wasn't playing the way he has. But fact of the matter is, we're, what, 10 games into the season now, the Colts, and he's got three sacks. So he's not the same player. He's 35. He's in a contract year. And I think the world of Robert, I've enjoyed watching him play, but I think this is it. And the rest of the guys up front, they don't wow you. There's nobody that, you know, you get excited about. I mean, DeQuell Jackson doesn't even look the same. And I think in the past he's been that, well, you guys remember him from the Cleveland Browns wars. He's been that junkyard dog that was always tough and feisty and would bite you and, you know, try and, you know, get under your skin. And he made tons of stops. Well, I haven't seen the same player this year from him. Eric Walden's got eight sacks, which that would eyebrow raise anybody because, frankly, he's not known for his pass rushing. He's supposed to be a set the edge, you know, stop the run guy. And he's become their best pass rusher and done pretty well. So maybe Walden's the only guy you worry about in terms of the pass rush, if in fact you're worried at all, which based on the last two games, you know, Roethlisberger, you'll get into that, I'm sure, but Big Ben has thrown for, what, 800 some odd yards, 10 touchdowns, and has not been picked, and most importantly, has not been sacked. And I can count on one hand how many times he's been hit in the last two games against the Colts. They use an extra offensive lineman to neutralize the Colts if they try and blitz, and nobody gets to Ben. And sending out one less receiver doesn't matter because Ben knows his guys will get open. So I'm real curious to see what the Colts do on defense to try and, you know, disrupt, I guess marginally disrupt is the phrase, because they haven't even accomplished that in the past. And they did get five sacks of Marcus Mariota Sunday. It was the season high for the Colts, but that's an anomaly. This defense is, it's lacked teeth, it's lacked bite, and, you know, I think they can do, Steelers can do whatever they want. In fact, I'm about ready to write my preview on it, and there's just absolutely no way I can look at it positively for the home team.
All right, so since it doesn't sound like there are a lot of positives, at least you guys got the two best specialists in the game. I mean, it's just amazing. These guys, they seem to get better with age. I know Vinatieri set the record for consecutive field goals. I don't know if he has missed since then, but McAfee's numbers are unbelievable. Those two guys just still the same? Just bank on them?
Yeah. Adam was upset because he did. His 44-kick streak came to an end last week. He pushed a 42-yard field goal wide right, and, you know, I was standing there. We got another colleague, and I walked in there and talked to him right away, and he was ticked at himself. He really was. So he said, I just didn't get my foot through it and just pushed it. He goes, stupid. And I took his hand, and I told him, I said, well, it was an honor to see a 43-year-old guy make 44 field goals in a row spanning through the last year. I mean, he's something else. He just he's incredible, and I don't take him for granted. I consider it kind of one of the joys of watching this team to see this guy kick as long as he has. He's actually kicked for the Colts longer than the Patriots now, even though the people remember him for his time in New England. That's where he won three of his rings. And, of course, Pat McAfee, you know, Pennsylvania's finest, man. I mean, the guy, Boomstick, as they call him here, he's actually gotten creative this year. I think that wave of smarts or sneakiness has gone through on these kickoffs, where I think Belichick and some other coaches have pooched it shorter so we force the return and give our guys a chance to tackle them. And so McAfee's not just kicking them straight out of the end zone anymore. At times he's trying a directional kick and trying to get field position from those things, but he still can kick it as long as anybody you'd want, as far as punting and kickoffs, and he's had a track record of pretty good onside kicks too. So you can't say anything bad about those guys. They're phenomenal. I mean, you know, Adam Vinatieri, like I said, he's only missed one field goal in ages, and McAfee's just as good. So, if the game came down to specialists, you might get a little nervous because you don't want those guys to have to be, lining up for a kick that can kill you.
All right, so what you got for us, Phil? we know which way you got to go here, but how big are you expecting the Steelers to win?
Oh, I'm going to cross you up. The Colts are going to win in an upset. No, I'm kidding. Well, here's the thing. You know, it makes me nervous when you're just so convinced of doom and gloom. And so you think of a big score and you just say they're going to get killed. And that's probably the end result. I think Pittsburgh wins by at least 14 points. But I won't be a bit surprised if, for whatever reason, you know, it may be sluggish or it's, you know, a mistake here or there, and the game's a little more competitive for a while than people think, because the Colts know that without Andrew, nobody gives them a chance, and they're going to hear that, and they've been hearing that, and they're going to be reminded. I think Eric Walton told me, man, Big Ben the last two times, he's kind of beating us like a stepchild, you know. And, you know, he has. He's beaten them pretty badly. So they know. They know Pittsburgh has their number. But I think maybe it's a game for a half, and then Pittsburgh will pull away. And the only reason I say that is because I don't think any of us want to go I don't want to go to the stadium, and you guys are watching. I don't think any of us want to see a one-sided blowout right from the get-go. That's just boring. I mean, at least make it a game, right? Let's make it entertaining. Let's make it worth watching. So, but Big Ben can throw for as much as he wants. I don't think he needs to throw for 600 and 500 and some odd yards like he did two games ago. But a 300-yard game with three or four touchdown passes, and I think you get a 31-14 game or 31-17 game out of this.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate the time. As always, as mentioned, people can follow Phil at PWilson24. Find his work at all22.com. I assume you're going to be at the game, so I hope you get a chance to get some turkey beforehand, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you, and I am. We got family dinner planned around 2, and then, I'll get the wife home, and then I'll go over there and watch it, and like I said, hopefully it's a game, which I'm not trying to be a Scrooge, but I grew up a Steeler fan, and I follow the Steelers to this day, and so not as a fan, but as an actual accredited journalist, an objective journalist, and I know when those guys are rolling and when those guys need it, Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell are just a real bear to stop, and Ben knows how to get him the ball. So the Colts don't have anything for them in that regard. They don't have anything to combat that. They just don't. Scott Tolzien's not making any Steelers pee in their black and gold pants. So I think you guys will enjoy the game, and hopefully the Colts don't get banged up even worse.
All right, man. Appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you, brothers. Peace.
All right, Dave, pretty much as expected from Phil in terms of what he thinks is going to happen with the game. And I just want to remind people, the mortgage process can occasionally be a bit daunting. And our buddy Craig Oxane can guide you through this sometimes daunting process to help you score the home of your dreams, even in Indianapolis. If you're considering buying or refinancing a home now or in the future, give Craig Oxane a call. He's an experienced, nationally recognized lender that can help you achieve the dream of home ownership. Call Craig Oxane today, 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. First Advantage Mortgage Company, NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. So I guess it's our turn to wrap things up and take a shot at this one. And certainly, you know, all our feelings very different because Andrew Luck is not playing and looks like we're going to be missing a couple guys possibly in the secondary. Dave, I'll go first and say I'm going to go back to the score line that carried me early in the season when the Steelers were 4-1 and we were on target. I do think the Steelers win this game rather comfortably. I want to get back on the superstitious train because I think it'll actually be better than this, but I'm going to say 30-20 that the Steelers win this game, and I'll be surprised if Tolzien can put up 20 points. I think the Steelers are going to, you know, I think this might be the game where the Steelers turn the corner, get some confidence, get to come home against the Giants, and put together a win streak.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get 8 sacks like they had against the Browns, but I think they'll get a handful of sacks in this game. Maybe an interception as well, too. Boy, Mike Mitchell, it sure would be nice to see him catch a ball thrown his way as well, too. I think it might be close to kind of start off with, Dave, but I think the Steelers just wear them down. And I had the Steelers winning this 27-13 for a happy Thanksgiving for Steelers fans. And, of course, if you haven't already seen, make sure you set your DVR or make sure you're tuning in to NFL Network on Friday night as well, too, because they'll be debuting A Football Life with Chuck Noll, and I am just totally geeked. Can you say that when you're almost 50 years old, David? Totally geeked?
Yeah, that'll be a good one, Friday night, 9 o'clock. And, Dave, I can't remember. I know this was going to be a two-parter, so is that a two-hour show Friday night?
Yeah, I don't know about that, David. I don't know about that.
We'll let you know on Friday.
But, we'll be back on this Friday, hopefully talking about another Steelers win. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you like what you hear, want to help out, want to donate to the cause, you can go to SteelersDepot.com, find that donate button. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Sorry we ran a little bit long today on this pre-Thanksgiving show. David, you have a happy Thanksgiving as well, too, and I'll be jealous of all that turkey you're going to eat.
All right, and always to all our listeners as well, and as always, thanks for listening to The Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.